time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Hello, hello, hello. This is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age, where we help you create your own self-directed guide and roadmap to optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what your current challenges may be. It's never too late, right? And in my seminars, I talk about the concept of thrive now, and I phrase it as discovering how to die young at an old age, because in our society, we tend to mix those terms up a little bit, and I challenge you to keep in your mind the idea that age is simply a number. You know, it's how many times I've ridden this rock around the sun. Youthfulness, however, is more embracing of the vitality, the creativity, how much are we contributing, how much joy are we giving and experiencing in life. So youthfulness is the challenge, and I suggest to you, we can all be young at any age. I try to categorize this in ways that is sometimes complicated content, but we can simplify it. You know, I say dumb it down a little bit so even I can understand it. So I generally put this content into four major buckets that I call eat right, exercise, avoid injury, and reduce stress. And today, I'm really excited to have on the show Cindy Perlin. Cindy is a licensed clinical social worker. She's a certified biofeedback practitioner. She's a chronic pain survivor herself, and she is the author of the book, The Truth About Chronic Pain Treatments, The Best and Worst Strategies for Becoming Pain-Free. And what we'll do is, Cindy, with your permission, we'll give you folks a link to Cindy's website and book and how you can connect with her at the end of this in our Inner Circle section on the website. So thanks for joining us today, Cindy.
Thank you for inviting me.
So one of the things that we've discussed on the show here before is I tell people, look, the only reason I know what I know is because I've been asking a lot of questions. I'm not the expert, but I gain knowledge because I do ask. I call myself a curious George, right? And I'm encouraging the listeners to evaluate any information, whether it comes from me, you, wherever, and to decide for themselves, meaning that I'm obligated to go to the next step. It's my responsibility to take care of my health and happiness in this life, and it's my responsibility to ask why or why not. I don't care if it's a doctor prescribing a medication or somebody telling me you're going to have to live with this pain. But whatever it is, we should be able to answer for ourselves whether we agree or disagree with something. Would you agree with that concept?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you do. You wouldn't be on here if you didn't.
Yeah.
Well, so let me just ask you up front. How did you get so interested in the concept of alternative chronic pain treatments?
Well, about 40 years ago, when I was 25 years old, I hurt my back, and it got progressively worse to the point where I was in agony 24/7.
Ooh, my.
And I went from doctor to doctor, and none of them knew what was wrong with me. They couldn't figure it out, and none of them had anything that helped. And I went through more than 3 years of that. I was in total despair. Mm-hmm. A healthcare practitioner told me to stay in bed until I felt better, except for coming to see him a few times a week. And I was lying in bed watching the Holocaust miniseries and reading books about World War II and the Holocaust, and I was just getting more and more depressed and not really understanding what was going on or why my pain was getting worse. And then a friend of mine suggested that I read a book called Anatomy of an Illness by Norman Cousins. And the author had developed a chronic progressive joint disease called ankylosing spondylitis. And he was told that he would get progressively more crippled and be in progressively more pain until he died, and he was unwilling to accept that. He did his own research, and he found out that the will to live was really important, and he asked himself, well, what makes life worth living for me? And he decided it was laughter. So he checked himself out of the hospital. In those days, you could stay in the hospital forever. They didn't kick you out. So he checked out of the hospital. He rented a projector. He watched the funny movies that were available at the time. And he discovered that the more he laughed, the better he felt. And he talked about the mind-body connection. And he actually, he laughed himself back to health.
Right.
He completely recovered from his progressive joint disease, and he wrote this book. And he mentioned biofeedback in the book. That's where you measure physiology and teach the person to control it. So I changed what I watched and what I read. I focused on funny things, and I went for biofeedback treatments. And the first biofeedback treatment, my pain decreased by 50%.
Wow, that's amazing.
That was a revelation to me. And also, you know, over the years, what I've seen is that doctors don't know how to treat pain, and they don't tell patients how to get better. They just write prescriptions, which never heal pain. If you're lucky, they cover it up a little bit, and sometimes not even that. And people just stumble around not knowing what to do.
Right.
So that's why I decided to write my book, which is basically an overview of all of the conventional and alternative treatments that are available, and, you know, whether they work, what their risks are, what their benefits are. And I started my website, paintreatmentdirectory.com. So people don't have to stumble around in pain and not know, you know, where to go for relief.
Well, it's epidemic, right? I mean, we all deal with pain, and we've had shows in the past. In fact, last week, you know, we were discussing specifically, or a couple of weeks ago, whatever, I can't remember. I'm getting older. But, you know, the issue of prescription medications and how our healthcare or sick care system right now, I'm not faulting doctors, but, you know, historically, the only way we can prescribe is through trial and error, right? I mean, you're manifesting a symptom, and they prescribe something, and it's kind of like, well, let's see how this works. And if you have these side effects, then maybe we'll cut back, or, you know, whatever. And the bottom line to me is I think we should learn about natural processes. Yeah, I've developed this therapy we call medical hydrotherapy, and you know, Bentley Baz is a company I have that, you know, promotes these natural pain management concepts. But I'm telling people that, you know, I believe our body is an amazing functioning piece of equipment. I mean, it will heal itself in many ways if we give it what it needs. And I think we've got so many people suffering pain that they're desperate. You know, and I made this joke a few weeks ago. One of my favorite children's books is called Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, right? And and the idea is, you know, the pigeon represents a, you know, in this context, a child who wants their way, and, you know, they'll stomp their feet and puff around to try to get what they want. And my point is, in the United States, at least, ever since Jonas Salk and the polio vaccine and all that, we've kind of become, you know, spoiled in that we want to stomp our feet and puff around and have the healthcare system heal us, give us a drug that'll fix this, you know, give me a magic diet, you know, whatever it is. And I think we've lost some of that personal responsibility, if that makes sense. And again, like I say, you can agree or disagree, but just, you know, understand why. What would you say to that?
Well, I do think that we're trained to be passive patients. Doctors don't like patients who have their own ideas or want to know what they could do for themselves. And people don't know the power that they have. You know, we've been trained that pharmaceuticals are what get us better. And before pharmaceuticals, there was nothing. And, you know, people just suffered and died without intervention. Well, that's not true at all.
Yeah.
You know, well, we've had herbal medicine and, you know.
But we've got to ask, right?
And many things that help healing.
We've got a challenge. We've got to stop that primary caregiver or oncologist or whoever the heck it is. So I tell this story about my sweetheart. Gabby is a breast cancer survivor, and it's been over a year now that she hit her 5-year mark and post surgery, and, you know, invasive everything. And they had told her, her oncologist said, you're going to take this chemo for 5 years, but at 5 years you'll get off, right? And so we go to her five-year checkup, and the doctor says to us that, well, I am going to take you off that chemo, but I've decided I'm going to prescribe another one that we'd like you to take for another 5 years, right?
Oh, gosh.
And if you know anything about me, you know, I looked at this guy, and I said, why? Right?
Yeah.
Now, listen to this, okay? This is so crazy. I can't make this up. I said, why are you asking Gabby to do this? This was his response. There are some doctors who believe they may have had a few patients who might have seen benefit by taking this medication for five additional years. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is a very toxic chemical you're asking her to put in her body, right? And that's your medical-based evidence for doing it? And I jokingly tell people, you know, not really jokingly, but I mean, I say, do you think Gabby took that medication? And the answer is yes, she did, because we're asking why, but we didn't have enough information to counteract his learned opinion. He had helped her through this process, right? But we started the conversation, and all of a sudden, now the conversation about, is this really the best thing for her? And after a month, by mutual agreement, she stopped taking it, you know? And so I'm kind of with you on this message that we need to start thinking for ourselves. We need, and like I'm telling your pain treatment directory, and by the way, it's www.paintreatmentdirectory.com. Cindy, I went through that. I mean, it's amazing. You have a wealth of talent and information represented in this directory, and that's why I really want to help make this available to people who might be listening to this program, because it's a huge benefit, okay? Mm-hmm. So having said all that, and again, getting back to Gabby, she would tell anybody that she got through that because of humor. She laughed her way out of it. To me, that's kind of a mind-body type connection, right? Where we're
right.
actually
you,
managing. Talk about that for me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, when you laugh, there are physiological changes that happen in your body. And from the standpoint of pain, when you laugh, your body makes endorphins, which are like opioids, only they're the ones that your body makes
right.
naturally. And, you know, that will give you pain relief. And there's no such thing as an overdose of endorphins. You can
Wouldn't it
laugh.
Be great to have an endorphin epidemic instead of an opioid epidemic?
You know, once years ago, there was a humor conference in my area. It was like a 2.5-day conference where, you know, you just went and learned about humor. And I went to that, and I laughed so much at that weekend that my ribs hurt. You know, I don't know what happened to the
endorphins. That's an overdose.
that
was an overdose.
I mean, literally, I laughed so much.
Oh.
It was just a really funny conference, and they kept having funny people, you know, but it was all about, you know, humor for health, humor for creativity, humor to succeed in business, and, you know, Jay Leno was there.
Oh, wow.
He gave a talk. So
well, I entered
fun.
Into a pact with my dad, who's now 99 years old, by the way, and still going strong. But it was like, I lose track, 5, 6, 7 years ago, that we wouldn't get out of bed in the morning without telling ourselves that this was going to be the best day of our life, because this is really, today is the only day I've got.
Mm-hmm.
And look how blessed it is for me. I've met you, and we've been able to have this conversation, and, you know, it really is my best day. The other was that we wouldn't go to bed at night without having made at least one other person laugh,
mm-hmm.
right? So now my dad's going around all day trying to, you know, make somebody laugh. And you know, it gets back to this humor thing and the mind-body connection. So how does that relate to, if I'm dealing with acute pain, your thought process on the mind-body connection and how we can manage that naturally?
You know, the thing is that whenever we have any fear about anything, our bodies go into what's called fight or flight, also known as the stress response, and that changes our physiology. Our blood pressure goes up, our heart rate goes up, our muscle tension goes up, our blood leaves our extremities and gets you know, the there's a priority to get your organs and your, you know, your organs and your large muscles functioning. So, you know, circulation to your extremities is reduced, your digestion is suppressed, your immune system is suppressed. All that is to mobilize our body to fight or flee a physical threat. But, you know, we don't deal with a lot of physical threats these days. You know, we don't run away from predatory animals, you know, every day. So we don't need that to happen. But when we worry about money, when we worry about our health, when we worry about our relationships, it puts us into fight or flight. And that, you know, if we stay in that place a lot of the time, it causes chronic illness and chronic pain.
Yep.
So it's really important to pay attention to, you know, what kinds of thoughts you spend your day thinking, you know, what you fill your mind with in terms of what you read, what you watch, the people you surround yourself with. All that has, you know, significant implications for how healthy you'll be, how good you'll feel.
And I think it was Viktor Frankl. I may have it. I'm pretty sure. You know, he was an amazing Holocaust survivor, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he writes about, you know, what separates us from humans from all other living life on Earth. And it's basically that between that stimulus and response, which is the amygdala, right? What you're talking about. We evolved with this. There's a stimulation, oh my God, a saber-toothed tiger, and then this appropriate response with the cortisol and all that and adrenaline pumping through our body. And his point was that there's a gap between stimulus and response where we can actually decide. You know, we can think about, how am I going to respond to this stimulation? And to me, that's where I think we drop in the humor piece, or, you know, any of this stuff.
Right.
You know, I got a diagnosis, or I hurt my, whatever it is. Now I've got a chance to be proactive and to think about how I'm going to respond to that.
You know, that's usually true, but let me just interject something about that. When people have been traumatized, you know, they've had been in life-threatening situations and they've been traumatized by them, then there's no gap.
Ah.
There's an automatic response, unless you get the appropriate treatment for that. So people who grew up with a lot of childhood trauma, where there was, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, they tend to have more illness because they're always in that hair trigger response.
Right.
They're always over aroused. There are treatments that help with that, but people who've been traumatized, they tend to have more chronic pain.
Well, and I was telling you before we got started here, we were chatting a little bit, and I would like you to talk about some modalities and particular therapies and stuff. But, you know, one of my first functions was as a psychiatric social worker in a state hospital, a mental institution, if you will. And these were the dark days of the 70s. But we started experimenting with biofeedback back then, and they thought we were crazy. I had a psychiatrist that we, you know, he was all about, you know, trying to experiment a little bit with what if we improve the nutrition, you know, if we help people be a little bit healthier and getting, you know, kind of cutting edge technologies. And I'm a very strong advocate of like meditation and, you know, anything that can help us calm this stressful environment that we're in today. But can you talk a little bit about the therapies and the modalities that are natural that you believe offer the most benefit to mm-hmm. folks that are dealing with pain? Or maybe they're the easiest to access? I don't know, however you would categorize them.
Okay, so do you want me to stay with the mind-body stuff or more generally?
I think the mind-body stuff.
Oh, okay. So the two modalities that I use the most in my work are different kinds of biofeedback and something else called energy psychology. So biofeedback, what you're doing is you're making the person aware of how stressed they actually are by taking measurements. So you can measure things like heart rate, muscle tension, blood pressure, skin moisture, hand temperature, electrical activity of the brain. All those things have a lot to do with how stressed the person is. If you've been stressed all the time, you're not even aware of it. You're living at a highly stressed level and you don't even know it because it's just normal to you. And maybe you only notice when you get extra stressed. And then a lot of people are kind of dissociated from their bodies, so they're just not really aware of what their bodies are doing. So biofeedback gives you that information. By taking measurements and then showing that to you, you get that information. Oh, I didn't think I was stressed, but my hands are 70 degrees. Cold hands are a sign of stress.
Uh-oh.
Unless you've just been outside in the cold.
Oh.
So once you have that measurement, then you can start teaching people, well, here's how you get out of that place. You know, you can teach them deep breathing. You can teach them meditation. You can teach them, you know, repeating positive things to themselves. You can teach them how to, you know, change their thoughts more positive. So, you know, what the biofeedback really helps with that, too, because it shows the person, oh, what I'm doing is making a difference. It may at first be a really tiny difference that I couldn't really sense, but when I can see the numbers changing and moving towards I'm more relaxed, I know that that works. And they can see that if they keep practicing that, they get better and better and better at that. So it kind of coaches you along and shows you and rewards you for making the right changes. Somebody compared practicing relaxation without the biofeedback to learning to play darts with a blindfold on.
Mm-hmm.
When you are playing darts, you throw the dart and you see where it hits the target. And if you didn't hit the bullseye, you try it again a slightly different way, and you find that you got a little closer doing that, or you got a little further with what you did. And you can adjust how you do it so that, you know, you refine your technique because you have the information about how well you're doing. But if you try to play darts and learn how to get good at it with a blindfold on where you couldn't see the results of your effort, you would not get better.
Yep. Makes total sense. And
so that's
kind of like
does.
With meditation, you know, my teacher was a Jean, a Buddhist monk, but he says, George, you've got monkey mind, right? So it took me a long time to figure out how to quiet my mind. And, you know, there are tools, again, that can help us monitor a little bit better and help us be better at this. Are there some other therapies? We got a few minutes left. You know, the ones that are kind of at the top of your list that you think people need to be researching and looking into for themselves?
So there's another one, energy psychology, and the most popular form is called emotional freedom technique. And you can go to a website called emofree.com, and it'll teach you how to do that. Or there's a book, The Tapping Solution.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is when you think about something upsetting, the emotional energy connected with that comes up, and it's available to work with and to dissipate. If you've had a trauma or a phobia, or you just have a situation that when you think about it, it's very upsetting, if you just focus on that and you work with this technique, which is usually done by tapping on acupuncture meridians, it will dissipate the energy. And then when you think about that, it will no longer have that emotional charge. It'll just be something that happened. It's over with. You can move on. And it's amazing because you can change somebody's emotional reaction to something they've been carrying around with for 30, 40, 50 years even in a few minutes using this technique.
Well, you know, it does sound odd, but I've been aware of and into tapping for years.
Oh, that's great.
And it just, I'm telling you, it's one of those things that try it or look in. Again, ask why. You know, if you're out there going, oh, that's crazy, I don't, you know, that doesn't sound like it'd work for me. You know, again, I'm saying you should be able to say why. And if you look into it and do a little research, you'll find out that this is, I think, a very powerful modality technology that, and you can use it anywhere, anytime. I mean, it's not like you need equipment or whatever once you learn some basics, right?
It's just amazing. And I've personally been able to get through, you know, very difficult situations using it. You know, when I almost drowned one time, it helped me then. you know, things come up in life, and a lot of people carry a lot of stuff with them, you know, from the past that still bothers them. You know, some people have post-traumatic stress disorder where they just can't get past what happened. They have flashbacks, they have nightmares. You don't even have to be that bad. You can just think about something, and, you know, when you do, it's just so upsetting, you hate to think about it. But if you do this technique...
Oh, you knew my ex-wife.
I'm sorry, what's that?
You knew my ex-wife. Oh, now I'm all tense. I'm sorry. I should have done that. Okay, think of something funny. Think of something funny.
But, you know, you spend a few minutes really focusing on something like that with this technique. And for something that's chronic, you have to do it more than once. But it just really works. And, you know, people get healthier. People stop having pain. People stop having high blood pressure. People stop having nightmares. You know, they just feel better after doing this, because that emotional baggage, that undischarged emotional energy, harms us.
Sure it does. It's toxic.
You know, so that's a really something that I use all the time for myself and with my clients.
Okay, so one last thing here, okay? We're about to run out of time, and what would you say... Just let me throw it on you and see what you come up. What would you say to anybody that's suffering chronic pain?
Well, I would say don't give up hope. There are solutions. You can find things that will help you feel better. You just haven't found them yet. And, you know, I encourage people to read my book, The Truth About Chronic Pain Treatments, and go to my website, paintreatmentdirectory.com, because it's an introduction to what's out there, and you'll find things that will help.
And we will put that information on our website, Being Young at Any Age, and you just type it in straight out, beingyoungatanyage.com, and it may take us a few days to get that up there, but we'll have the links to Cindy's information or book. We're definitely going to promote the Pain Treatment Directory for you, because I think that's a very powerful piece of work you did there, you know.
Well, thank you.
Bringing those resources together so that people... I typed in my... Okay, you're in... Where are you? You're in on the East Coast somewhere, right?
Right. I'm in the Albany, New York area.
Yeah. Okay. So last night I'm going, yeah, right. Okay. So I type in my zip code. Boom. 15 people right here near me that are part of your directory. So I want people to be able to have access to that.
And if there's any healthcare practitioners who treat pain with alternative therapies listening, please sign up as a provider on the website so people can find you.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay, well, I believe that's about our show for the day. I want to thank our guest, Cindy Perlin, certified biofeedback practitioner and maven and guru of all things natural in the pain management area. Cindy, we are going to have you back on the show again if you're willing. There's just so much content for us to talk about.
Well,
again,
sure,
this is...
I'd love to.
Oh, sorry to mean step on you.
Me.
Yep. Appreciate it. Thanks. This is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age, where we help you create your own self-directed roadmap and guide to optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitality. No matter what your current challenges, go to the website www.beingyoungatanyage.com or call us at 303-388-8887, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.